Well, this activity should have kept you busy. I'm not going to give you any feedback on questions 1, 2, or 4 because they're really asking you to reflect on your own practices here. In respect to question 3, what kind of help can you get in your institution for media design, and what media decisions will the answer to this question suggest to you? I'm going to focus on the K-12 situation where there probably isn't much professional support. And I think there you're going to have to rely more on simple media that you or your students can use, such as podcasts and possibly a learning management system if it's supported for the whole school system, for instance. So if all schools have access to a common learning management system, then you could certainly use that for, say, more blended learning and getting students to do some work online as well as in class. So having professionals supporting you opens up a much wider range of possible choice and helps you keep the cost down, because if you're not careful and you're doing everything on your own, then you can suddenly end up spending a lot of your own time developing materials. So if you can get help from instructional designers and media professionals, then I strongly recommend it as a good way of keeping the cost of your time down. On question 5, I asked you to add e-portfolios and stuff under social media. Well, one of the things about e-portfolios is that basically students have to do a lot of the work because they have to build their e-portfolios. A lot of technology use is transferring the work from you as an instructor to the students. And I have to say that students often don't like this, but in the end, it's the students who have to do the learning. So I'm all for using technologies and media that require students to put more effort in and more time on task. And that can free up your time from having to be hand-holding them all the time. So in terms of social media, I think that student blogs and wikis are excellent tools, very cheap to set up, very easy to set up, particularly if you have an institutional website and so on. It's easy to create student blogs. There has to be a little bit of teaching involved in getting them to use them responsibly, but building a blog related to a course, or asking students to blog about their course and focus just on the course, not the, on general social blogs, can be very productive and fairly low cost, certainly for the instructor. In terms of CMOOCs, there's very little development cost in CMOOCs. The main cost is probably quite low in delivery as well, unless you want to take a very hands-on activity as a subject expert in helping people in CMOOCs. But basically, they should be self-managed, and if they're set up properly. So the students and the learners would be responsible mainly for helping, but probably some light touch in supervision might be useful. On question 6, it would now be cheaper to replace face-to-face teaching with purely online learning. Well, that was a deliberately provocative statement on my part. The answer really is it's a numbers issue. Online is more scalable than face-to-face teaching. If you scale up face-to-face teaching, you have pretty heavy costs. If you increase the size of a school or a campus, you have to add more instructors and so on. You can scale up online learning a little easier, although there are limits to how much you can scale it. If you want a lot of interaction between the students and the instructor, you can't scale it up too much. But there are some economies of scale by going on with online learning, provided you get the numbers. Now, often you can't get the numbers. If you're teaching a course where you can only get 30 enrolments as a maximum, then you're not going to get the scaling benefits of developing online materials. But really, it's it's not really a cost issue, whether you go to face-to-face or online. What you have to look at in face-to-face teaching is what are the affordances of face-to-face teaching, and this will vary according to the kind of students you're teaching and what the students' needs are. So there will be many situations where students will want face-to-face teaching or will need face-to-face teaching, and many other situations that purely online. And to be honest, if they're both done reasonably professionally, it's probably not a cost issue at all. It's more a question of the right affordances.